Habakkuk is a book that has three short chapters. There's not a whole lot in the book of Habakkuk, but there's still a whole lot that can be learned. And we must understand that as we dig in this evening, that any book, whether you're in Habakkuk, whether you're in Malachi, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, wherever you're at, is still the Word of God. And there's no contradiction anywhere found in Scripture. If you think you've found one, then you just better stand on the fact that maybe that you're misinterpreting it or interpreting it, and start digging and find out what it is, because I believe a holy God gave us a holy and righteous, infallible Bible or Word of God. But going to do things a little different this evening, not just in the prayer, but in this study. And you know, I'm just going to kind of give you the background of what's going on in Habakkuk. And I want to talk about one thing, and no doubt y'all that have your paper, you've probably got it all filled out, but there's places I want to go and some things I want to talk about this evening, which we found in the book of Habakkuk. But if you've got your Bible open, I'm going to start out in the very first chapter. I want to read the very first seven verses of chapter 1. And then we're going to talk about it a few minutes. But it said, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me? And there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous before wrong judgment proceedeth." Verse 5 says, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." Verse 6, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land and to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves." So, very quickly jumping into it this evening, I'm not going to give you a date. I'm going to give you, or as far as what a date I hold to on this one, because we're not exactly sure, but I'm going to give you a time period. I'm going to tell you, some scholars, they'll give you a specific date. Some of them will hold around 606, some of them a little later. But honestly, you can find dates that people try to attribute with this book as early as the 700 BCs all the way down to the 300 BCs. But I believe if you was to dig in a little bit, and even what we just read tonight, that the 3, the 4, and even the 500 BCs, those century time periods would not fit to this prophet. And I'm going to tell you why. One scholar I read after, he held to the date of 606 BC. And the reason he held to that date was because of the Battle of Carchemish. Has anybody ever heard of that battle? Know what the Battle of Carchemish is? The Battle of Carchemish was a battle which established the Babylonians' ruling power over the land. We know that as we've been studying, the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians. They have fell to the Assyrians. Nineveh was the capital of Syria. And or Assyria, rather, not Syria. It is two different places, but it was the capital to Assyria. And Babylon, or where Babylon was, it was actually ruled by the Assyrians. Well, the battle at Carchemish is when the Babylonians come together and overthrew the Assyrians, and that is when the world power at that moment, or at that time, exchanged from the Assyrians to the Babylonians, which was right before they come down into Jerusalem, and we've seen that God gave Jerusalem over the Babylonians. But I'm going to say, number one, we're not told much about Habakkuk. However, according to verse 5 and 6, it seems that this prophecy was before the fall of the Assyrians. So when was that? When was it that they fell? Well, it was before Nebuchadnezzar came in. It was before the southern kingdom of Judah fell. How do you get that? Look in verse 5. This is God talking to Habakkuk. "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously." He says, "For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." He said, "I'm going to tell you, but you're not going to believe me of the vast, marvelous work that's going to happen." What is it? In verse 6, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans." The Chaldeans is the Babylonians. It is the Babylonian Empire. So if you hear or you read of the Chaldeans and the Babylonians, it is speaking of the same nationality or the same people there. He says, "I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not there." So at this time, the way that it reads, Babylon or the Chaldeans have not come to power yet, or world power like the Assyrians were. So I place Habakkuk at least, according to that date that I mentioned, that one scholar, 606, but I'm even going to back it up a little further than that. History will tell you that the Assyrians or Nineveh fell around 612 B.C. I know that when Nineveh fell is not when the world power shifted, but I believe it could have been back there a little closer to 612 or maybe even a little further back. But clearly, he says, "I'm going to tell you things that you will not believe, even though I tell you." And he says, "I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans." So we know that this was happened before Babylon ever come to world power. And we know, obviously, they were in world power in 605 when Nebuchadnezzar come down and overthrew Judah. But Nebuchadnezzar's father, now I don't have this in here, but Nebuchadnezzar's father, Nebuchadnezzar, is the one that overthrew the Assyrians. So it happened right before Nebuchadnezzar took the reins there in Babylon. So I'm going to say it was mid to early 600 B.C.s, just according to Scripture here and history as we have it. Now, I'm going to jump all the way to chapter 2 and going to go through these rather quick because the ones in Hebrew I want to talk about. But if you look at chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and we're going to find the answers to verses or numbers 2 and 3 here in these four verses. This is the Lord answering Habakkuk. He says, "I will stand upon my watch and will set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved." And the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." Verse 4, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Number 3, the Lord tells Habakkuk, he tells him to be patient. We see that in, I believe it's number 3 there. He says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. And what do we see here? We see the sovereignty of God once again. God was sovereign then. He said, the time is not yet come. The time will come, and when it's time, it will come to pass. God, why am I facing what I'm facing in my life? When is it cease to bother me? How am I going to get through this? When is it going to come to pass, all these things that I've been facing with? God told Habakkuk in verse 3 that there was an appointed time. And I'm going to tell you, a God that is in control of the universe, in control of everything, He has an appointed time for everything. People will say, that happened by chance. No, my friend, nothing happens by chance when you're talking about a sovereign and holy God. Luck, you will not find luck. Society teaches us, you hear it all the time, I got to go do this, I got to go do that. Well, good luck. I've said it myself. Somebody's got to go do something, go to the doctor, do that, or I'll say, good luck. I mean, it's just sometimes a natural habit, and I'm trying to learn to catch myself in saying that, because when we're talking about God, there is no such thing as luck. Luck is an Eastern religion. We can get into that and where it come from, but for the sake of time, we're not. But we must understand, our God does not operate off of luck. If something happens in your life, if something great, good or bad happens, it wasn't a matter of luck. Brother Jesse, I'm sure you probably heard when we went to that youth outing, we come back with one less vehicle. That did not happen by a mere chance of bad luck. We must understand, bad luck does not exist in the realm of a holy and righteous God. Now, we try to allow it to exist, we refer to it, but if we say that happened by circumstance, that happened by luck, merely the stars just happened to align in a specific time and a place, no, my friend, that is God. God is holy, God is righteous, God is sovereign, is in charge of everything. And if God's really in charge of everything, you cannot choose to say, well, God, I believe that you're in control of everything, but I think this good thing over here happened by chance or by luck. And see, we say that, oh, I got lucky today and this happened. No, don't mistake a luck or a chance from a blessing from God. I'm going to tell you, if you want the blessings to draw up or dry up in your life, start saying it was luck or it was a circumstance, and not thanking God for the blessings, and they just might start drying up in your life. Why am I here today? It wasn't by luck, the path that I had. Why am I married to the one that I have? It wasn't by luck. It was by God's holy provision. Why are you here today? You may be sitting out there, I'm tired of hearing you talk Bible. I don't care. Somebody made me come. You're not here by luck. God made provision in order for you to be here. I'm thankful that I don't have to worry if luck is going to be on my side. It wasn't luck that was on my side the day that I heard the gospel and I accepted Jesus Christ. It wasn't luck. You know what that was? That was a holy act of God. The Holy Spirit moved that day, spoke to my heart, and I accepted Him into my life as my Lord and personal Savior. Not luck. Not luck. It was God. Number 3, Habakkuk had to wait on the Lord's timing, and he had to exercise his faith in doing so. He had to exercise his faith in doing so. And this verse 4 is where I want to talk about for a few minutes, and with the help of God, I'm going to try to get through this without taking up too much of your time. But we must understand what faith is, what faith does, and why we need it. Number 4, verse 4, I'm going to read it. It says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Now, when you start talking about faith and the life of a Christian, we should all have it to begin with. We should all live by faith. But the hardest thing for you and I to do is to live by faith. Why is that? Because if you have faith that God's going to take care of you, and you rest in that fact that God is going to take care of you, what control do you have? You have no control whatsoever. God has promised to take care of us. God has promised us time and time again that He'll be our sustainer. He'll be our provider. That He'll always be there in the time of trouble. He will always be there. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. But many times when you and I, let me just speak of myself. Y'all may be more holy and righteous than me, or more spiritual than me, but many times it's easy to get up here and preach about how our faith should be strong when we're looking at solid darkness, when we're looking at bad things in our life. And I've already addressed the fact that it's not bad luck, but it is the work of God. We must understand and realize that you and I need faith, and it is in them hard times that we have to rely on our faith. And we have to have faith in God that everything's going to be okay. And if there's anybody in here that struggles with that, maybe there's not a one out there that struggles with it, but I do, because I have flesh. I do. I have flesh. God, help my faith. Help my faith. But in order to fully understand this, know that He said, "But the just shall live by his faith." Now, I want y'all all to flip over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, y'all may have already had this filled out, but flip over to Hebrews chapter 11 if y'all would, please. Why is faith so important in the life of a believer? Now, I could spend a very long time on this. You know that. But I'm going to try not to do that this evening. But what is faith? Habakkuk had to exercise his faith to wait on the Lord's timing. To know that the Lord is going to do what He said He's going to do, he had to have faith. But is everybody that's turning there to Hebrews, are they in Hebrews chapter 11? Everybody in Hebrews 11? What is faith? The very first verse tells us what faith is. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You and I, we cannot see faith. We cannot see it. But I know things are there that these physical eyes do not see. I know that my sins have been forgiven. I know that I've been washed in the blood. I know that. Not because I physically experience blood running down my body. I physically experience. No, I know that by faith. It's by faith. I don't understand that, Zach. You're losing me. Go look outside. Go look outside on a windy day. You cannot see the wind going by the door. You cannot see that. You cannot point, "There's wind." But we can see evidence of wind. You can see it when the wind blows through the trees. We can see what the wind is doing to the trees. But your human eye and my human eyes cannot physically see wind itself, but we know it's there. The atheists will pound you and pound you about proving the existence of God. I've told kids this. Just being honest with you, you cannot prove the existence of God. You cannot physically prove He exists. just like the atheist cannot physically prove that he doesn't exist. And the atheists say, well, you can't prove he exists, so God does not exist. And that one person is saying, I know everything. I am all-knowing, and I can tell you he doesn't exist. They cannot prove he doesn't exist any more than you can prove he does. But I know he does. It's by faith. How are we saved? It's by grace through faith. And these health and wealth gospels that we hear taught on TV, that you hear on the radio, that you may scroll through on Facebook, I mean, it's awful, the people and the lives that they suck in. I believe they're leading people straight to hell, because just because we are Christians, that does not mean that we're not going to have bumps in the road. That does not mean that we will not have hard times. And if you want to be specifically honest, when did your life start really getting difficult? It is when you start to choose to live like Christ. Oh, it's easy to live like the world. Now, the world, we know it rains on the just and the unjust. They have problems just like you and I. But you know what? When you are a Christian, when those problems turn up, you must react in a completely different way than the world acts. What do you mean? If you need help with a situation comes up, you don't turn to the world. You turn to a godly example. You turn to somebody to help you that's grounded in the faith. There was a gentleman that the Lord allowed me to lead to Christ that I worked with several years ago, and you see, Brother Jesse, he was at the bottom of his barrel. He was at the bottom. He couldn't go any lower. And, you know, God worked and used that. And I got him to come to church. And according to his testimony, he accepted Christ as his Savior. But a few days later, a week, 2 weeks later, he come to me. He said, I just don't understand. It's so hard to do what it is you do as a Christian. I don't know why, but it's like my life is harder now than it was before I become a Christian. And I told him, I said, it's going to be that way. When you choose to be different, people's going to see that. Not only are people going to see that, but your adversary is going to know that. And things start happening in our lives. You've heard me say something like this before. What's the most dangerous thing a Christian can be? Idle. Just idle. Just don't do anything. And you know what? If you're idle in your Christian life, well, I don't know what it is. I don't have a whole lot of problems and trials. And yes, every once in a while something will come up. But here in the last few months, it ain't been that bad. Well, you might want to check up and see if you've been stuck in park for a little while. If you're idle, why does the adversary even need to bother you? But it is when you start to get on fire for God, when you start to do things, when God starts blessing around this church house, this sanctuary, these grounds, when God starts doing something big in your life, oh, that's when the adversary is going to come in. He's going to come along. But you and I, we've got to have faith. Hebrews 1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see it. I can't see God, but I know He's there. I can't see God, but I can see Him working in my life. I can see Him blessing me. No, I don't deserve any of it, but I can see Him, no doubt. That was Hebrews 11:1. How's that verse start off? What's the first two words? Now faith. Now faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is usually referred to as what? The hall of faith. Look at Hebrews 11:3. Through faith. Jimmy, what's that say? Are you there in Hebrews 11? What's the first two words in verse 4? Caught you off guard, didn't I? 11:1, now faith. 11:3, through faith. 11:4, as he's finding his place there. 11:4, by faith. 11:5, by faith. 11:7, by faith. 11:8, by faith. Jesse, what's that say in verse 9? How's that start off? Verse 9? By faith. Jason, if you're there, what's that say in verse 11? Through faith. Are you there? Are you in Hebrews 11? No. Somebody that's in Hebrews 11, tell me what it says in verse 17. How's it start off? By faith. What about 20? 22? 23? 24? 27? 28? 29? 30? 31? 33? Who through faith? 39, the middle part of it? Through faith. How many times was the word faith mentioned here in this chapter? What is it talking about? It was by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was by faith Enoch was translated. It was by faith Noah, being warned of God, didn't see the water, but he moved with fear. Verse 8, by faith Abraham was called to go to a place. By faith Abraham left his father's house. He left the land of his nativity. He left everything that he knew. Why? By faith. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. It was by faith. Through faith, verse 11, Sarah received strength to conceive seed who was delivered of child. Did she get a miraculous body? It was by faith or through faith. Verse 13, all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up his son. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Not only was he hid 3 months, but by faith his parents saw that he was a proper child. By faith they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith he refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. It was by faith that he chose to endure afflictions rather than enjoying the prosperities of that land there in Egypt, but it was by faith, verse 29, that they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, through faith. Look at all these men and even women of God. How in the world did God use them the way He did? They had now, it doesn't matter how strong or how bright my faith is. God may not give my wife a child at 100 years old. She's probably praying God don't give her a child. God's not going to tell me that a flood's going to come, that I need to build an ark and get my family on there. God's not going to translate me up like Enoch was. God's not going to ask me to offer my children like Abraham offered his son. But what do you think God can do through you if we would just act and have a little bit of faith? We know that faith can't be seen. But you look at everything that we just talked about, everything there was done by faith and through faith. Do I really need that kind of faith in my life? We skipped over verse 6. Verse 6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now here in a few minutes, we're going to go over the prayer list. Here in a few minutes, we're going to talk about some individuals whose names are on this that's never accepted salvation. We're going to read some names that are dealing with some physical infirmities. We're going to read some people that's having pain and going through this. And no doubt, y'all may have some very own request of that you're going to mention. And then I'm going to ask y'all to come forward. And while y'all are coming forward, I'm going to ask y'all to pray for revival next week. I'm going to ask y'all to pray for revival, something in your heart. God to do something in your heart. And then when He fills you up, you spill over onto your neighbor. And then when they fill up, next thing you know, it just goes on down the line and God just comes in here and resides with us for a little while. But one thing I will not ask you to do is when I ask y'all to come forward, I'm not going to say, now you leave your faith right there down there in the pew. You leave your faith right there where it's sitting. Because the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If I come up here, God, I've prayed time and time again for this lost loved one. God, I've prayed for this. God, I've done this. Will you save them? If you can. My, what kind of faith is that? You see, I'm talking to myself this evening. We're human. We have flesh. And sometimes, because we're human and we have flesh, we leave that faith sitting right where we just got up. And we don't let that faith control our lives. We have hard times. We have difficulties. That's where and when our faith grows. All those mountaintops experiences where God is blessing is so wonderful. I love those times we come in here and we just feel the presence of God. No matter what you can do, those tears just won't stop flowing. God just really comes in and He settles in with us for a little while. I'm thankful of those times, but you know what, Brother Jimmy, I've learned that those times are wonderful. And one of the reasons those times are as wonderful as they are is because we don't have them all the time. You see, if we have times like that every time we come in here, we would get used to them and the uniqueness of them would wear off. But you know, I wonder what would happen if you and I, as the children of God, the one that spoke the existence or the world into existence. See, we forget a lot of times, you and I, we try to put God in a little bitty box. God, I'm going to put you here. And you forget. We forget just how great and mighty God really is. He said, let there be, and there was. No matter what I can do, I can never get anything done physically by my verbal voice. But God said, let there be. And nothing. God said, let there be, and nothing had to respond at a holy and righteous God. But many times you and I, we go to Him with a tank on empty of faith. Where's our faith? Oh, it's been a tough week. By faith, you're going to make it through the day. By faith, you're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords one day. By faith, He's never going to leave you. By faith, you're going to be just fine. Even when that doctor tells you, I've got bad news. By faith, you are still on the winning side. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, the just shall live by faith. That's not a, oh, I hope I'm saved. Oh, I hope I've done good. I hope I'm going to get into glory. No, my friends. The just shall live by faith. When the hard times come, what's going to get you through? That faith. When you and your spouse have spats, how are you going to get through? How are you going to get through that knowing you're okay? You're going to get through it by faith. We don't exercise our faith. Sometimes I think that we don't exercise our faith enough. I was talking about this in Sunday school. I'm talking about the analogy of a bodybuilder. A bodybuilder, a lot of them will spend multiple hours a day in a gym every day. And sometimes in some of the routines, they'll take a day off. But then the next day, they're right back at it. And as long as they're in there, they're working the muscles, they're building the muscles, and that muscle is being used, and that muscle's going to grow. But I said, what's going to happen if that same bodybuilder gets hurt? Maybe he gets hurt exercising his muscles. He goes a little too much, and he tears one of his muscles, and he gets put out of commission for a little while. All that muscle that he spent all that time building up, while he's out of commission, he's going to start losing that muscle mass. He's going to start losing everything that he worked for. Now, I know that's a physical analogy, but if our faith never gets exercised, our faith's never going to grow. Don't ask God to take away the hard times, the struggles in life. Yes, nobody likes them, but that's where we learn. Don't ask God, Father, take it away. My prayer is that God gives me a stronger backbone and a stronger faith to withstand those hard times. The last one down there, we as Christians must not only exercise our faith, but we must live by our faith. We must live by it. I don't know what tomorrow's coming. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Have you not seen the news? Have you not seen what's going on over there in Russia? Have you not seen the shootings that were just a few miles up the road? Have you not seen the gang violence? Have you not seen just the horrible world that we live in? By faith, you're going to make it just fine. But a lot of times we get distracted. And when we get distracted, our faith suffers. Our faith suffers. Those hard times, no doubt, are difficult. And you may never hope that you ever experience what it is you're going through today ever again. But the flowers grow down there in the valley. That's where we learn. That's where